Well, I've lost my passion, but I need to make money now.
Do you love your work? Do you think it's possible? Well, you're about to find out. It's time for 48 Days to the Work You Love with Dan Miller on the 48 Days Online Radio Show. Whether you need a professional tune-up or a work overhaul, this is the program for you. Now, here's your host, Dan Miller.
Hey, welcome into listening to the 48 Days Radio Show. Each week, we jump on here, take 48 minutes to dive into those real-life questions about finding your passion, deciding what kind of life you want to live, and then finding or creating, which is commonly the case, work that allows you to show up every day excited to be able to do something that is meaningful, fulfilling, and profitable. Hey, stick around. This is where normal, indecision, ambiguity come to die. Welcome to the 48 Days Radio Show. Hey, our business partners today are FreshBooks and Health IQ. Now, FreshBooks, you hear me talk about that to claim your month-long unrestricted free trial of that cool accounting software. Just go to freshbooks.com/48days, enter 48 days in the how did you hear about us section. New business partner today, Health IQ. I'm excited about this. They reached out. We've had a couple great conversations. This is an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. I'm going to give you a little more information. This is an exciting opportunity for those of us who are taking care of each other, taking care of ourselves. Well, go to healthiq.com/48days. to see if you qualify. A little bit more information coming up here shortly. Well, here's some of the questions we've got that we're going to be unpacking today. Dan, I've lost my passion for my industry. What should I do? How about this? Is it okay to go through 48 days to the work you love in fewer than 48 days? I love that question. Dan, how can I make plans for the future if I'm depressed? Well, we got a challenge there. We're going to look at that. If you aren't feeling very optimistic about where you are you stuck? Are you prevented from making positive, optimistic plans? We'll look at that. Dan, how can I make more money blogging about a topic that bores me? Whoa. And can I share my love of carpentry with a course called 10 Easy Steps to a More Efficient Framer? You know, when I look at that word, I'm so tempted to see it as farmer. No, 10 easy tips to be a more efficient framer. Well, yeah, you can. Absolutely. Developing a course is a great way to leverage your unique expertise. Well, we'll talk more about that, obviously, as we go through this today. Here's a quotation for today. Now, check this out. You got to listen to this carefully. This comes from Jonathan Swift, who is the author of Gulliver's Travels. A wise person should have money in their head, but not in their heart. Wow, that's a challenge for me. I want to make sure that I keep that in mind. A wise person should have money in their head, but not in their heart. Now, you hear me talk about people in the 40 Days Eagles community. I mean, things are exploding in there. The projects that are being launched, joint ventures that people are doing, people are creating and selling their art. People are writing books, and there's just a lot of exciting things happening there. Here's the deal. We have people who need a fresh start. There's really four different categories of people in the Eagles community. People who need a fresh start, they need a job now. People who have a job but want a promotion, they want to move up in their industry. People who have an idea they want to bring to life, maybe a side biz that they can devote 10 to 15 hours a week to. And then people who already have a full-blown business and they want it to grow and prosper. Any one of those can benefit and needs to have accurate financial information. I mean, you just can't do any of those well if you don't know where you stand, where your trends are, what happened in the past, and what your predictions are for the future. That's why I recommend FreshBooks. I mean, we know the nature of work is changing all the time. I mean, the internet is allowing a whole lot of us to become self-employed and to create real bona fide businesses. We can do things. It doesn't matter where you live. At dinner last night with somebody who lives in a very remote part of Colorado. Doesn't matter. In this new economy, we can be connected. You can run a very robust business, even if none of your customers live within 300 miles of you. Well, but to do that well, you need to keep track of your books. You need to be able to send out those invoices and know that people see them. I mean, I send out sometimes invoices and I receive invoices. And when I receive an invoice and get that email, if they make it easy for me, they're going to get paid in 30 seconds. If they make it so I have to print off an invoice and write a check and send it in the mail, it's going to sit on my desk for a while. But if they make it easy, they're going to get money instantly. And you can do the same. That happens with FreshBooks. Just go to FreshBooks.com/48days. Enter 48 days in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Now, I also want to tell you about my new friends at Health IQ. Now, we've talked. Here's the deal. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people. If you're a runner, a cyclist, strength trainer, maybe you're vegan, vegetarian, you know, one of those categories. I mean, those are the kind of people that they're looking for. 56% of Health IQ customers save between 4 and 33% on their life insurance. Now, I went through the routine. You know, I applied, again, as having somebody that I promote here. I want to know what it's all about. I just applied. Totally unknown to the people that I was talking to at corporate, I just applied and went through their system. Wow, what a delightful process. I love the questions they ask. They put me through the ringer. I mean, what time I get up? What time I go to bed? You know, do I meditate? What do I read? You know, what am I doing to keep myself fit? How fast can I run a mile? I mean, my gosh, it was fun just going through all those things and to be affirmed for doing a lot of things right to keep myself healthy. That's what they focus on. Those people get rewarded. I mean, think about it. If you're just grouped into a category of everybody in your age group, they're going to be people who are fat, overweight, don't take care of themselves, all those things. You're going to share the cost of insuring those people who have much higher likelihood of dropping off the face of the earth. Well, here's your chance to be rewarded for taking care of yourself. So again, this is our new business partner, Health IQ, an insurance company that's going to help health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, vegetarians get lower rates on your life insurance. Just go to healthiq.com/48days to see if you qualify. Again, that's Health IQ, just like it sounds, healthiq.com/48days to see if you qualify. Well, let me go to some good news stories here. We got some fun things here, as always. You know, I'm a car guy. You know that. If you've been listening for any length of time at all, you know my head snaps around. You know, if we're driving down the road and like, oh my gosh, Joanne knows it's probably not a gorgeous lady. That could happen, but more likely than not, it's a gorgeous car that gets my attention. So last week in Montreal, there was an artist, Simon Laprise. He decided to confuse his community by sculpting a parked car entirely out of snow. Now, they had a lot of snow in Montreal, so a lot of cars were covered with snow. He took an empty space and sculpted a car out of snow. Now, this is where it's cool. This is a place where you can only park certain hours of the day. Later that night, the police came by, and the policeman got out of his car to put a ticket on this car. That's how realistic it looked. And I mean, he really had to look at it to realize he had been bamboozled. And then instead he left a note that said, "Hey, you made our night." An artist. I mean, I love these kind of things where people take their art and do something creative like this. So he sculpted a car that was so realistic looking, a cop was going to put a ticket on it. Is that cool or what? Well, here's another fun story. This comes from West Point, Nebraska. There's an 18-year-old young man who has Down syndrome, but he loves basketball. So he's part of the basketball team. And as one of his participation points, he's been practicing a shot. has been practicing a shot right at half court to shoot the ball over his head and make a basket. Well, he's been practicing that for months and wanted an opportunity. His team wanted him to have an opportunity to show that off. Half court over his head. Well, he did that. And you can look it up. It's a pretty cool shot. You can see it. Well, the footage was so widely shared on social media, the Globetrotters invited him to be their guest of honor for their spring performance in Omaha. I mean, how cool is that? I love those kind of stories. Somebody to just practice a unique shot, another form of doing something so well. I mean, the old Steve Martin quotation, you know, be so good they can't ignore you. That's how to get attention. Do something so well that they can't ignore you. Well, hey, I got one more story here and we'll move on. Here's a student wakes up from a nap to find that a stranger had overheard her talking to her mom on her phone about her financial difficulties and left a gift. So Ella Johansson was pretty overwhelmed by financial difficulties. And she was riding a train from London to Leeds Saturday morning. She called her mother and she was just sobbing about her financial problems. She's in school, but she's gotten behind. She had to quit her part-time job so she could just focus on her studies the last semester. So she was stressed out, she said, upset over her financial situation. She was trying to locate what had happened to $35 that had been sent to her over a bank transfer, and she couldn't find it. But she was talking to her mom about how little money she had, how worried she was about her finances. She was upset. After hanging up the phone, she just dropped her head, went to sleep. Well, she woke up half an hour later, and she found someone had left her $141 tucked into a napkin on her lap. You know, somebody overheard the conversation. It's probably all the cash the person had with them, $141. They just tucked it into a napkin, left it on her lap, and walked away. Well, she said, you know, after 18 terrible months where I lost my father and both of his parents, it showed me there's kindness and good people in the world. She shared it, and she hopes that her thank you note to the compassionate stranger will reach them on Facebook, and she plans on paying the good deed forward by volunteering for a charity there in Leeds. Yeah, cool story. Hey, one more thing. You know, this is kind of just a note, but it ties in so much with something I talk about. I talk about the fact that in the morning, you know, there no way in the world would I turn the TV on to fill my brain first thing in the morning with all the negative things that are going on. I also am not going to have it on last thing at night because I don't want that to be the last images and comments that I have in my brain before I go to bed. Is all the negative things that have happened during the day. Oh, breaking news. We just caught a 14-year-old who shot his friend over in East Nashville. Do I really need to know that? Well, here's a fitness center. And this it really resonated with me because we have a brand new Lifetime Fitness facility about a mile from my house. Now, it is spectacular. It is the most outrageous fitness center I've ever seen. Well, they've decided that they are not going to have cable TV news on the big TV monitors. You know how that is? You go to the fitness center, and then they've got these monitors everywhere. And, you know, this annoys me, even like we're at sea on a cruise, where they have the TVs playing, and it's news. And you're forced to watch all the news from CNN, Fox, MSNBC, CNBC, you know, the kind of things. And they're telling you all the horrible things that have happened overnight. Well, this fitness center says it is always our goal to meet the majority of members' expressed request, and we believe this change is consistent with the desires of overall membership as well as our healthy way of philosophy. The big screen TVs will now air USA, A&E, Discovery, HGTV, in addition to local stations and ESPN, but they're blocking the news channels. The founder says we tout a healthy and happy life for our members. We want to provide a comprehensive experience that goes well beyond fitness to encompass the entire spectrum of daily life for individuals, couples, and families of all ages. Our studies also showed that this change in mood exacerbates the viewers' own personal worries, even when those worries are not directly relevant to the news stories being broadcast. Now, this mentions something that I've mentioned a couple well, probably a couple months ago, there was a study done. Oh, the lady used to be a TV anchor and she left that. Now she writes about happiness. Her husband is Sean Aker, who wrote the book on happiness. I can't think of her name. I apologize. But she did a study that showed that people that watched just 3 minutes of negative news in the morning had a 27% greater likelihood of reporting their day as unhappy 8 hours later. 27% greater likelihood of being unhappy 8 hours later after watching just 3 minutes of negative news. Knowing that, she quit her job and has moved into an entirely new line of kind of things that she works and promotes. Well, good stuff. Love to share those kind of stories here. All right. And Lisa says, Dan, I'm currently unemployed as my husband and I have moved from Canada to Australia. I'm wanting to change careers. And I've had your book a while now and thought this would be a perfect opportunity to read it. I'm wondering if it would be just as beneficial if I read or worked in it faster than the 48 days, you say. Just because I'm not working, I feel like I could read way more than one chapter per day. But if it's beneficial for me to read it one day at a time, then I'll do that. Well, Lisa, thank you for your sensitivity to that. Golly, do it at your own speed. If you're unemployed and you want to sit down and spend 2 days, go through the 48 days to the work you love material and apply it, absolutely do that. Really, the process is not to read the book over 48 days. It's to read the book and then take action over 48 days, step by step. That'll walk you right through the new job, new business, new career, new opportunity, whatever it is that you want. So it's not meant to slow you down in the reading process. Go ahead and read it, but then go back and start implementing. Go through the 48 days steps that we've got laid out as well. Now, this is a follow-up from Benoit, who sent me a note last week. I read he is from India and says they're expecting their first child. He has been trained in IT and has been working in that for a very long time, but he has an interest in theology and was wanting to move into that. Now, I know that I questioned his moving into theology as a replacement for his earning capacity in IT, information technology, and questioned if that were really possible, if that were a wise thing to do. He responded back, says, thanks for reading my letter. Yes, I was intensely pursuing my theological training, but I have had second thoughts about proceeding further. So what would you suggest that I do? I'm not able to find a job in the IT field. It looks like I'm not able to pursue IT in a sincere manner as I have lost interest. I'm under intense pressure and it's stressing me out. I need to find something that can generate steady income. My wife still has her job in Oman in one of the hospitals. Now, here's the deal on this. So, and this is going to apply for a lot of you. Benoit has training in information technology, but he's kind of lost his passion in that, wants to move into something else, was interested in theology, recognizes there's some challenges there in having that be his focus, and accepting his responsibility to provide for his family. So, what does he do? Here's my suggestion on this. Information technology is a very broad category. I mean, virtually any organization out there today, any company needs people with skills in information technology. I mean, that covers such a broad scope of things. I would encourage you, rather than walking away from that industry and your background and training and earning potential, your marketing, your marketability in that area, I'd encourage you to instead look for an organization where you're excited about their mission. I mean, my bookkeeper is very selective about her clients. She can do books for anybody, but she will only work with companies like ours where she cares about what they're doing, where she's passionate about what they're doing. I would encourage you to do that. Look for an organization where you're excited about their mission, and then use your skills in IT to help them make that impact. I mean, you can use your IT skills, work for a company making a better printing press. That may be boring. You may think you lost your passion, but what if you were using your IT skills and you were working with, Habitat for Humanity? You're building homes for people who need a fresh start. I mean, someone who needs a hand up, not a handout. I mean, those people are required to put in like 80 hours of their own sweat equity in order to have a house. I mean, that may get you really excited. So I wouldn't throw the whole industry out, but rather I would look for a creative application. Jody Mayberry is a friend of ours, has his own podcast. He hosts the Morgan James Publishing Podcast. He hosts a podcast with Lee Cockrell, former, I think he was CEO of Disney. Anyway, Jody sent me an app for my iPhone. He heard me talk on here about the fact how much I spoil the birds here on our property. And I feed the birds right outside my office and they come there in droves. He sent me an app for my phone. It's iBird Pro. It is awesome. I never knew such a thing existed. But I mean, I can see a bird out here and I can quickly find it in my app on my phone. I can, you know, its characteristics, what it likes to eat. I can listen to its song so I can recognize it by its song when I hear it singing outside. I mean, I love that. But think about, what if you were doing something using your IT skills, working with a company like that, where you really are enamored with birds and you get an opportunity to be working outside using it. I would encourage you to go in that direction. I mean, make a list of 30 to 40 organizations where you'd be excited about what they're doing in the world. I mean, people stand in line to work at Dave Ramsey's company. I mean, they have like 350 applications for every one position. I mean, it's harder to get a job there than it is to get into Harvard Law School. They're there not because they're passionate about data processing or using Facebook or doing graphic design or making Infusionsoft work well. They're there because they're passionate about helping people get freedom from debt. And most of them have experienced that freedom themselves. That's why they're there. So I think I would caution you about walking away from IT just because you lost your passion. Look for a new application by aligning with an organization that has a mission that excites you. You know, I'm reminded, there's a quotation from Martin Luther King Jr. who says, "If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will pause to say, 'Here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well.'" I think there are a lot of things we can do. I don't think there are a limited number of careers, vocations, where a person is allowed to live out their passion and God's calling in their life. Not at all. I think that extends across thousands and thousands of different occupations and applications. But then when you're doing something, do it that well. Do it so well that the host of heaven are going to pause and say, "Man, here's somebody who did his job well." I mean, that's a pretty cool thing. And I think you can take a lot of things where you it may not be just all peaches and cream. You may think that you're losing your passion, but if you've invested a lot of time, when I work with dentists and physicians and attorneys and engineers and pastors, who are saying, "I don't want to do this anymore." Man, I love to work with people like that. But in doing so, almost without exception, we validate the training and the background that these people have. We just simply look for a subtle realignment of what they're doing. It's rare that we would just wipe that out. Now, have I had a physician who then becomes a UPS truck driver? Yes. Literally, I have. But that's pretty rare. Typically, we're going to validate the background in education and look for a subtle change in application. All right, now this comes from Pamela. This is a toughie. Again, a lot of you are going to identify with this. Pamela says, "I'm reading 48 Days to the Work You Love. I'm on chapter 4, and in the book it says that I can't make plans for the future if I'm depressed. I am so depressed. I can't even function some days. I'm bored to death with my job. It's an 8-to-5 job with all the perks, super easy, not a lot of pressure. I can change up the hours somewhat. It's a 10-minute drive from home, so I have an easy commute and can get over to my kids' school if needed. Anyways, the question is how to set the goal when I'm depressed." She says, "I really like your book." Well, thanks, Pamela. Thanks for your honesty and openness here. I mean, this is a classic chicken and the egg dilemma. You can't make plans for the future because you're depressed. But if you make plans for the future, you won't be depressed. So we've got a real straightforward process here, and you can walk through this. When I meet someone who is discouraged, frustrated, angry, depressed, guilty, I know they're looking at what's already happened. They're looking at the past. They're looking at what they're coming from. I've never met someone who had clear plans for the future who was not confident, bold, enthusiastic. So go ahead and make plans. And as soon as you get clear on what those are, what those plans are, what you're moving to, those negative emotions are going to start to diminish. So I understand where you are, but you can break the cycle of where you are by drawing that proverbial line in the sand. I'm depressed. That defines the last year of my life. All right. But I am not depression. I mean, that implies something else. I am depressed. I can choose to be confident, optimistic. And one of the ways I'm going to do to initiate that is to identify clear goals for where I want to be. Now, if you're in a job that bores you to death, that's a challenge. But even with that, you may decide, I'm going to take up art. I'm going to learn to play the piano. You know, I'm going to plan a trip this summer with my kids that's a one-week hiking trip. We're going to do part of the Appalachian Trail. I mean, I don't know any of those things. But when you define something like, I mean, Joanne and I just booked a cruise. It's going to be a cruise that we never did before. We're going all the way down from Fort Lauderdale, but all the way down to Barbados, Antigua, Aruba, some places we've never been before. Well, Joanne is, I mean, this will be our 15th cruise. She is so excited because this is something new we've not done before. It's just a little bit of a change and a common thing that we've done being on cruises, but the excitement has her so she can hardly sleep at night. That's what'll happen when you get clear about what you're moving to. So if you feel like your life is just in neutral, you've created your own version of Groundhog Day where every day is just like it was yesterday. Yeah, you can stay depressed, but you can break that cycle. Now, I'm not trying to diminish the severity of what some people experience, and perhaps you need to see a physician and look at some other options as well. But for the most part, when people say they're depressed, they simply are bored with what's happening in their life. And if you get excited about what you're moving to, you can't stay depressed. So I would encourage you to move in that direction. Pamela, again, thanks for reaching out. Thanks for sharing a message, a quandary of your own that I'm sure will help a lot of people move forward as well. All right, this comes from Annie in Lincoln, Nebraska. She says, Dan, do you remember me from Innovate? I sure do. I remember you well, Annie. I love your enthusiasm, the things that you were going through. As I recall, you lost a job right after being here. You panicked and then realized, hey, I got this. And you jumped right back in. So, all right, up to date, Annie says that was probably, my goodness, 4 or 5 years ago, I would guess. Annie says, I like my regular job, but my dream is location independence. I've been freelance editing and writing for 4 years and earned 15% of my annual income doing that. I've vlogged weekly for 2 years. Now, listen to the details here, but I have only 25 subscribers and I've made $1. But I want to finish off that emergency fund and nest egg for moving. But I made more money freelancing than at my day job this month. I don't know what to do because I don't have enough time. I don't want to just half-butt freelancing, she says, and not how I treat clients. But I'm so bored with my blog topic. Do I stop freelancing or blogging? Well, here's the deal. And you cannot blog well if you're bored with the topic. Oh, that's so counterintuitive. I mean, that would be like, you know, me blogging about mathematical concepts. I mean, my gosh, could I learn something about that? I'm sure I could, but I could never bring myself to write with enthusiasm, the freshness, confidence, boldness that ought to come when we're excited about something, just like I talked about, you know, what you're moving to. So you can't talk yourself into doing well something that bores you to death. It's just counter. It's just not how we're wired at all. So I think you get great opportunity to blog. I mean, I remember some of your writing from before. I mean, I think you write really well, but make sure you align that with something you care about, something you're passionate about, and then build your audience there. If you've been blogging for 2 years and you only have 25 subscribers, yeah, there's something dramatically wrong there. I mean, I appreciate your consistency in doing that, but somehow it's not engaging. And it may just be that it's transparent, that it's a topic that bores you. So if that's true, write about something. I mean, I write about things that I really care about. I mean, I yesterday worked with a gentleman who felt like God called him and his wife to positively impact the marriages of 1,000 couples. So they put together an event, knowing that God had called them to do this. Well, as an extension of that thinking, they committed to an outrageous amount with the host hotel in terms of books that would be booked, rooms that would be booked, food that would be eaten, conference rooms that would be used, those kind of things. And what happened is at the end of the day, they ended up owing an enormous amount of money to the hotel. There's a problem in how that plan unfolded. We don't go into something just with on a whim and a prayer and then commit ourselves to an economic model that puts at risk everything that we own and our home. I mean, it just, I don't believe, you know, God sets us up for those kind of situations. Well, that's a topic for a more extended kind of unpacking. But the key is know what you're passionate about and then create a realistic business model to go along with that. And you can do that, Annie, with what you're doing here. And you can get to that location independence. My gosh, you probably hear my daughter Ashley talk about that. You know, that's how they describe, you know, they're out there living on the road. They're location independent. They can go anywhere they want to, and they continue the things that are meaningful to them as a family and continue doing the things that they're doing work-wise. I mean, she continues to work for me. I mean, that's an amazing kind of unfolding of events there, because they created a very careful plan for what that was going to look like and how that could work so that they could do that, have an ongoing, extended, unlimited adventure with their family. But they were very careful in how they laid out a plan for how that was going to work. All right, this comes from John. He says, Dan, this is my situation. I've been teaching people to podcast at community colleges here in Sydney, Australia for the past 12 months, and it's going well. I converted the course to an online version and have completed beta testing. My wife and I are moving to Ireland in April, so I need to get the online course running. My question is this: would it be a good idea to approach affiliate marketing people as a merchant? I can offer a good return for sales, as we will be debt-free completely when we move, and I have worked out our cash flow, profit and loss statements, SWOT analysis, and so on. I feel outsourcing the sales part of the process would allow me to focus on the content creation, fully aware that this will incur a cost. Well, when we talk about affiliate marketing, I mean, there's a lot of ways to approach that, and that's really, really common. I mean, right now, you're seeing, you know, from me and a lot of other people, the new Secrets of Closing the Sale course that Kevin Harrington, one of the original sharks from Shark Tank, has created using Zig Ziglar's material, Secrets of Closing the Sale. Well, that's a course that's being promoted. It's a $2,000 course. I'm an affiliate for that. And the way it works is I get 40% if somebody buys that. I mean, there's nothing misrepresentative about this. It's just the way it's set up. They have 274 affiliates for that Ziglar course that are promoting people coming in, seeing the advanced videos that Kevin Harrington did, and then, you know, wanting eventually to have the course. Very legitimate process unfolding. Projections for that, and I don't think this would be any problem with me sharing the details. I happen to know some of the details. In having those 274 affiliates, their goal was to have 25 million emails. 25 million emails that they would send out. From that, they're hoping to get 1% opt-in. So that's 250,000. 1% opt-in to watch the videos. The videos then hopefully are good enough to then have 1% of the people actually purchase the course. Well, that's 2,500 people, 2,000, you know, you do the math on that. We're at $5 million. That's what they're hoping to do. 40% of that will go to the affiliates. That's $2 million out. That'll leave $3 million. So that's the way when we talk about a course, you see a course, whether it's Jeff Goins, you know, TribeWriters course, or Ray Edwards, Copywriting Academy, or Michael Hyatt, Best Year Ever. I mean, those kind of things, they all have really robust affiliate marketing systems in place. Now, that doesn't mean it takes you out of the marketing piece totally. People obviously have to know you, believe in your content, but if they do, yeah, they will promote what you have and you can use an affiliate marketing approach. Now, the person who heads up all the programs that I just talked about is Matt McWilliams. Matt's a sharp young guy. He and his wife, Tara, that's their company. What they do is help people set up those affiliate launches. And you can reach Matt McWilliams, or you can ask me about him more if you want to. Just shoot a note to me. That'd be okay too. But that's the way it's set up. Can you do that? Yeah, absolutely. You can. I've got another question here about that as well. Let me find that. Okay, this comes from Caleb, who says, I want to leverage my carpentry knowledge. All right, what this was, this was on teaching people to podcast. All right, so you get somebody here, John has a podcasting course, and now Caleb says, my name is Caleb, I'm a 27-year-old framing carpenter. I enjoy my job. The aspect I enjoy the most is teaching new tradesmen how to frame a house, how to use their tools, and so on. I'm wanting to leverage my knowledge of carpentry without trying to get a job with a local technical institute teaching it. I had the idea of releasing an ebook and then creating a course. I already have an outline for the ebook, which I call 10 Easy Tips to Be a More Efficient Framer. There's that word I said in the opening. I look at it and my eyes see farmer. That'd be cool. 10 tips to be a more efficient farmer. But this happens to be 10 easy tips to be a more efficient framer. So yes, you can do the same thing, Caleb. I mean, you can do that. You can put together a course. I mean, having a course is the easiest way to leverage what you're doing. There's so many people doing that. I just talked about my daughter, Ashley, you know, they're location independent. Well, they've just done a course. It's like how to, you know, what to do in your first 90 days of living on the road. The trailer for it is just stunning. Ashley's so natural on camera. She's working with Dr. Brian Dixon, who's on our team here at 48 Days. He helps people get their message up in a course like that. I mean, he worked with Ian Cron, who is the Enneagram expert on The Road Back to You, the book that he leveraged now into a course. But Amplify Publishers is Brian's company where he helps people get courses online. There's a lot of technology framework readily available for putting courses online. We use Kajabi, but there's also Thinkific, there's Teachable, there's LearnDash, there's a whole lot of things out there. And so the process of doing that is becoming easier and easier and easier. I would never suggest that Caleb, you or John or anybody else do this on your own. I mean, there's too much to learn, and the best thing to do is to connect with somebody who already understands that space, like Brian Dixon or Andy Traub. There are certainly others out there, but get with somebody who understands how to do that to walk you right through so you don't spend all your time trying to learn the business side and taking you away from creating great content, as you're asking here, Caleb. Makes total sense. Well, I hope that's helpful. There's a lot of, you know, a lot going on in that space. I mean, we're creating new courses. I'm reshooting my course on how to create your own mastermind group, and we're going to host that on Kajabi just because we want everything in one place where people can go there, have one login, have access to any of the courses that they've registered for, and also then it's easy for us to let them know when we create a new one. So we're creating like a little university. We've got more information on that coming. We've got some other components of that we're putting together here real soon as well. We're going to have a 48 Days imprint for book publishing as well. helping people take their content out here so that you get books that get in the New York publishing system, get into bookstores, libraries, airports, all that. We've got things, we're just about ready to announce that. But, you know, so we're building content, and any of you can do the same. If it's just one course you're going to create and it's kind of a one and done, then you can do it on WordPress. I mean, the logistics of that are not as complicated or important. But if you're going to do a series of courses, then you want to look at something like Teachable, Thinkific, Kajabi, where you can start to have them all in the same place, the same format, to make access to those smooth and easy. Wow. Well, let me jump ahead here. This comes from Jason, who says, I love listening to your podcast. Each episode provides much needed positivity in my workday. I too graduated with a master's in clinical psychology 12 years ago, but found the business world suited me, and I've been in the pharmaceutical industry since before I finished my master's. I'm desperate to pivot from operations management to management consulting at one of the big firms. After making some professional contacts a few years ago at two of the most reputable consulting firms. Now, what Jason does, he goes through his attempt to pivot from operations to management consulting. And it's been difficult. He says, Dan, the last 3 years have been difficult, even with good contacts. I've not been able to get an interview, and I've only received regrets from even the smaller boutique firms I've approached. I've started to feel quite depressed and burned out. My family's weary of my obsession. And he goes on for other reasons that might be the cause. I'm 44 years old. Can't imagine another 10 years of the routine, reactive task. He also says in here that he's making $130,000 doing what he's doing, but there's not much room left for promotion. That's why he wants to move into the management consulting. All right, here's how you need to look at this, Jason. If you want to do consulting, typically companies bring in people from the outside. It's almost part and parcel of the definition of consulting. People don't have internal consultants, they have external consultants. So it opens up the possibility of, rather than just getting a job with a company as a consultant, that you propose consulting packages to a variety of companies. So let's say, all right, you're making $130,000. I mean, it doesn't take much in the way of a consulting package to be worth $65,000. And in doing so, if you had two companies that took a consulting package from you, there you are. You're back to your 130. You can go on from there. If you get five, you know, get four of those in the course of a year, and you've doubled your income, you're at $260,000 a year. I mean, You might want to step out of the traditional job model as you look at this. Now, are there companies that have people who work for them who then consult for other companies? Yes, there are lots of them. I did a quick Google search for management consulting firms, and it took me right to a list of like 80 of the most reputable consulting firms. So obviously those would be a good focus for your job search. No question about it. You can go right to those and do your job search there. And it sounds like you're well positioned to be a consultant. I really don't understand what would be a challenge for you getting a position with a company like that. Again, go back through in 48 days. I talk about, you know, your introductory letter, your resume and cover letter, your follow-up phone call, your interview. I mean, you can see what's breaking down. If you're not getting interviews, then you need to look at your resume and how you're approaching people on the front end. Are you doing an introductory letter? Does your resume, is it something that whets people's appetite? Be careful about telling people so much about you that they could make a decision as to whether or not they want you just from your resume. You don't want to do that. You want it to whet their appetite, so they want to talk to you, so you then have an opportunity to sell yourself in person. So check that out. Yes, you can do two things here, two parts to your approach. You can do this job search targeting the management consulting firms, of which there are many. And you can also put together your own proposals for what your best information, your best talents would look like in a consulting package, and identify 30 to 40 companies that could use you as an outside consultant directly. So you take out the middleman, that being a consulting firm that you would be working for, you go directly to the company. I mean, I do some things where in taking out a middleman, it increases my revenue by 100%. And in this case, what that means is if you had a package where you needed to be paid $65,000, they're going to promote that to a company and charge the company $130,000. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand if you go directly to the company, wow, what if you went directly to the company and offered that to them at $90,000? You're still well above what you expect to be paid, and the company, it gets a bargain for what they're going to receive. Anyway, hey, wow. Well, let me roll into our ending here because we're just at that time. I want to make sure that we can wrap this up well. I want to give you an action step for the week. We've been doing this in 48 Days Eagles on the Monday mentor calls, and it's been astounding the results people are getting by just simply taking a simple action. Here's my action based on what we talked about today. I want you to list three things you're passionate about. And here's the second part. Now describe one thing you can do this week to bring that to life. If you want to play the piano, what is one thing you're going to do this week that'll move you closer to that? If you want to plan a cruise to Aruba, what's one thing you can do this week to bring that to life? But list three things you're passionate about. Now describe one thing you can do to bring that to life. I think that'll break the cycle for some of you that describe you're depressed, you're discouraged, you're frustrated, you're stuck. Do that. Let me know what happens. Hey, send your questions, your comments, your results, your success stories. Just shoot them to me at askdan@48days.com. Again, that's the easiest, quickest way. askdan@48days.com. If you're involved in the 48 Days Eagles community already, you know, I see you there. I love to comment directly there. So a lot of you, we have interaction on a daily basis there. That's cool. But if not, just, you know, shoot me an email, askdan@48days.com. Hey, it's still the beginning of the year. Yes, it's the end of the first month already. We're heading into February. Can you believe it? Of a brand new year, 2018. Blink of an eye, we'll be through this and on to the next year. But take advantage of this. Continue finding or creating work that is meaningful, purposeful, and profitable. You don't have to settle for less. There's too many opportunities all around us. You can do this. Have a great week.